Roll call for Tuesday, February 24th. Anderson District 2?
Here.
Anderson District 28?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Escobel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Johnson? Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Fladern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Good morning, Pastor Mender. If you'd please lead us in the prayer.
Good morning. Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from you. So today again, we pause right now to thank you for this beautiful sunny morning in Cheyenne. And thank you for the privileges to be here today. And thank you that we're part of a state and a country that is free, that is prosperous, a state and a country where we can live in safety and in peace as we raise our children and watch our grandchildren grow. Thank you for the staff that works so hard behind the scenes. Thank you, Lord, for these senators who've chosen to serve the people of Wyoming during this season in their lives. And I watch the news and I see the difficult decisions that have to be made about different bills. Give them wisdom as they make laws and policies that ensure we can continue to live peaceful and free lives. Bless and protect their families back home as many of them are spending these weeks away from them as they serve here. And we pray for President Nicholas as he leads this rowdy group of senators that you'll help him remain cool, calm, and collected. Amen.
Please join me with a pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, that's Pastor, that's a wonderful prayer, and I don't know if it's because I need the help or whether I need help leading them. Either way, I guess it works. When you were younger, you probably could have gotten it up here, but any longer. All right, if the reading clerk will please read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 23rd, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Good job, Jeff. Are there any objections to that report? If none, the report is adopted. Let's see, news of the day. Our doctor of the day is Dr. Beringer, M.D. from Cheyenne. There's no nurse of the day. Today in history, 1897, Wyoming accepted a grant of 1 square mile of land from the Wind River Reservation for the hot springs at what is now Thermopolis. Session status today is day 29 of the proposed 37-day session. Friday is the last day for bills reported out of committee of the second house. Friday is it for bills to be out of the committee of the whole. And we have joint conference committee reports, committee reports. Let's begin by naming the conference committee for Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, Investment of State Funds. The conferees on the Senate are Senators Ross, Chairman, Perkins, and Wasserberger. Joint Conference Committee reports, do we have any? I see it's highlighted. Want to do concurrences? We have concurrences first. Senator Christensen, are you ready on message number 285 to Senate file number 16, Controlled Substances?
Mr. President.
If the reading clerk would please read in the message.
February the 12th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 285, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file 16, Controlled Substances. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate do adopt the JCC 285 report, message number 285, on Senate File 16 and ask the Senate to vote aye. Members of the Senate, this was our controlled substances bill we heard early on in the session, and it had to do, we had a similar conversation here. The initial conversation on the floor was about new classifications of drugs. And then if you recall, we had a more in-depth conversation about the precursors and common elements that you could see on the farm, in the home, in the shop, and concern about that precursor conversation. The House had those same concerns on the precursors, and I would suggest that we vote aye on that. They removed the precursors, and we probably need to go back and look at this as a possible interim topic to discuss how to deal with these precursors and really flesh that out. Their concerns were much like yours, and as a result, I ask you to vote aye.
Any discussion on the recommendation? The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate File Number 16, Controlled Substances, and you've been asked to vote aye. If the reading clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed, 28 aye, 2 no.
Senator Case, are you ready with respect to Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Personnel Elections, which is part of message number 345?
You bet, Mr. President, as soon as I find it. But I would be ready.
February 23rd, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 345, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Election. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Are you with us?
I'm with you.
Okay. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 345 in reference to Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Persons Elections, and I'd like to ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, there's an issue about how, in the case of a vacancy in a legislative office, and how precinct people are selected and how long they must serve before they can help to fill that vacancy. And in our existing law, there's a requirement that these precinct people be in place for at least 30 days before the vacancy. And the reason that is done, Mr. President, is to prevent mischief, to prevent, there's a lot of times there's empty seats. People don't file, and then if there's no precinct persons elected from the election process, then it's up to the party chairman to nominate and fill those seats at a party process. And so we suspect that the 30 days was in place to make sure that you couldn't manipulate a vacancy, perhaps as the timing of when it occurs and when people are appointed to fill it, so that, you can kind of get around the process. It's kind of a complicated area. It doesn't happen very much. And as you recall, These precinct people in this bill are elected at the primary election, but they don't take office till the 1st of January. So it may not be as big as issue, Mr. President, but in talking with members of my committee, I didn't get to everybody, but folks that were involved in the interim, we decided we'd like to talk about this, and that's why we're asking to vote no.
Further discussion on the explanation? The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate file number 33, which is part of message number 345, and you've been asked to vote no. Roll call.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed, 30 no.
By your vote, the Senate has failed to concur with Senate file number 33, precinct committee persons elections. We're at that point of business of joint conference committee reports, and I think we've got two. Why don't you give them both to me so I can let people know. So the two that we're going to do in order is set of file 13 and seven file 16. Thank you, House Bill. You're exactly right, House Bill 16. So let's begin with Senate file 13. Senator Christensen, are you ready on that report?
Yes, Mr. President.
If the reading clerk would please read in the report.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 13, Method of Execution 1, Reference House Message Number 292, Signing for the House, Representatives Croker, Nicholas, Pownell, Signing for the Senate, Senators Christensen, Burns, and Rothfuss.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 13, and I'd ask that the Senate vote aye. Mr. President, this was a solution. We found a solution in between our firing squad of the suggested amendment that the House put on it, as you recall, went down. Over here, the concurrence. So we got together and worked it out. The original language of the House amendment was after administering anesthesia and rendering the person unconscious. That was the amendment. They could meet the firing squad. So what we did was work within the original Senate language in between and the House amendment, and it was agreed on this language after firing squad. Instead of administering anesthesia and rendering the person unconscious, the state could offer sedation. Now, the interesting part of that is what we found out with our Director of Corrections is that right now, in a death sentence case, they offer sedation today. And they said they would offer sedation in the case of a firing squad also, if the people would like it. So it's essentially taking what has been, it's their practice, and putting it into statute, clarifying that that option exists. And with that, a much better choice and codifies what they would do under the circumstances and what they do in today's solution or final solution. And I'd ask you to vote aye.
Discussion on the report. The motion is that the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 13, Method of Execution 1, be adopted, and you've been asked to vote aye. Roll call on the report.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escabel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer. Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you have adopted and concurred with Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 13. The next concurrence is the message on House Bill 16. Senator Perkins, are you ready on that message?
Mr. President.
If the reading clerk would please read it in.
February the 19th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 315, Joint Conference Committee report adopted, Mr. President. The House Bill number 16, Offense Against Public Administration. The House adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. I think you got the vote, or no, Senator Perkins.
No.
Are we good?
Okay. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to House Bill 16, and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what your Joint Conference Committee did is we went down and we visited with the House about where they were, and what we did is we left the Senate amendment intact. But how we went back and we compromised on allowing one of the repealers to come back. Mr. President, what the repealer does is existing language, which is the existing criminal a misdemeanor for a notary doing things they should not to do. And so that came back, and so ultimately that the criminal statute stays where it is, and everything else that the House had done on their bill and the great improvements that the Senate had made to it were agreed upon, and that's the report that I present. Would stand for questions, and if there are no questions, would ask for the body's vote of aye. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any discussion on the explanation? If none, the motion is that Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee report to House Bill number 16, Offenses Against Public Administration. If the Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escabel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30-aye.
By your vote that the Senate has adopted Joint Conference Committee report to House Bill number 16, Offenses Against Public Administration. Ladies and gentlemen, hi, Jimmer. Representative Allen is here today. We all grew up with Jim. We used to call him Jimmer. But joining us this morning is Miss Wyoming, Jesse Allen. Jesse was born and reared on a ranch near Lander, spending every summer on her family's guest ranch in the Wind River Mountains. She graduated the top 10 of her class from Lander Valley High School in, it used to be called Fremont Vocational High School when your dad went there, and went on to study at University of Wyoming in a full academic scholarship and was on a UW dance team. She's also the daughter of Jimmer. I've told you that. Jesse, we are glad to have you, and we're going to allow you to have the microphone. Thank you for being here. Let me get you the microphone there. Okay, try it again.
All right, how's that? Okay, thank you for allowing me to be here. I drove down from Sheridan yesterday, and the roads were good. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the way home. But the last time I was in Cheyenne was in January to see my dad be sworn in, and I haven't been down since, but it sounds like this has been a pretty active, productive legislature, and so I just want to express my gratitude for all that you're doing for our state to keep us strong, and I can see firsthand how much time and work and dedication this requires, and I appreciate your service to this state. I, too, am in the midst of my year of service as Miss Wyoming 2014. I was crowned in Sheridan, which is where I'm living now, and I went to the Miss America competition in September. The Miss America competition, just to give you an idea of what it's like, we were there for 2 weeks and had a pretty strict schedule. The areas of competition are the 10-minute interview, the talent, which I tried to get a horse on stage and they weren't really having it, so I decided to do a contemporary jazz dance for my talent, and evening gown and lifestyle and fitness and swimsuit. Not like I grew up doing pageants. This was kind of just another adventure for me and a way to showcase my love for Wyoming and to get around the state being an advocate and a leader. And along with that comes a platform. Each title holder comes up with a message that they want to share throughout their year of service. For me, it was really easy to choose my platform. I titled it Explore Nature's Playground. And having heard a little bit, I grew up outside of Lander on my family's guest ranch in the Winds. We live at 9,200 feet without electricity every summer. And I realized how unique that upbringing was and how rare that is for kids to have those opportunities to grow up outdoors all the time. And so with this increasing reliance on technology, you can see rises in ADHD and obesity and depression. And so as I go around the state, I encourage kids to be excited about outdoor play. And I also used my platform, I showcased that fully on the Miss America stage. I made a pledge to stay true to who I am in the Wyoming way. So by the time, or when I was crowned Miss Wyoming, until the time that I stepped on the Miss America stage, I didn't work with a trainer, I didn't go on a restrictive diet, or I didn't even step foot in a gym. I did what I do every summer. I worked outdoors, guiding pack trips, saddling horses, feeding hay, doing what we do in Wyoming, and that's what got me in the best physical and mental shape to be able to step on that stage and represent Wyoming. So I was proud to do that. I also use a lot of my experiences that I've had to go around to when I go to high schools. I share my experiences to encourage them to embrace opportunities for growth. I grew up Well, I went to Lander, and I got really involved in FFA. I went on to become a Wyoming State FFA officer, and that's kind of what gave me the idea to run for Miss Wyoming, but it also provided a lot of opportunities. It was because of my involvement in FFA that I was able to be introduced to the Public Lands Council, and I see Jim McGagna here, which is Awesome. I remember getting an email my sophomore year of college about the PLC wanting a Wyoming student to join them in D.C. to see the legislative process firsthand. That's an awesome opportunity that Wyoming will give to these young students. And so I took advantage of that and was chosen to be that student. And it was because of my experience there that I was motivated to apply for an internship with Cynthia Lummis in Washington, D.C. I was selected for that internship and spent 4 awesome months in living in D.C. and working for her. Just opportunities like that, I encourage these young kids to embrace those and to take advantage of them. After I graduated from UW with a degree in communications, I spent a bit of time traveling. Because I didn't have any debt, thank you to the Hathaway scholarships and other academic scholarships, I was able to do a bit of traveling. So I went to New Zealand for 4 months. I spent 30 days doing a Knowles backpacking wilderness course in the Southern Alps of New Zealand. And then I spent 3 months traveling around the South Island, working on farms in exchange for food and accommodations, living completely out of my backpack, a young, independent 22-year-old traveling around New Zealand. What an awesome experience. And then this last winter, I went to Thailand to become a yoga teacher, always looking for these opportunities of growth to be as well-rounded as possible. And I share those experiences and that message with young kids as I go around the state. And I have been pretty active around the state. This isn't a paid position. I don't get compensation. I might get a little help with gas, and that's all I ask for from these communities when they invite me to come speak in their schools or speak at a banquet, whatever it may be, because my love for Wyoming runs very deep, and to be able to showcase our lifestyle, to represent our Wyomingites, is truly an honor. And so to be here today is pretty exciting for me, and I am very appreciative for this experience and this opportunity. Thank you again for all that you do to keep Wyoming strong, and thank you for having me.
Just, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, may I proceed to the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I want the senators to realize and understand that Representative Allen has a bill up today. That's just a coincidence that it occurred when his daughter was here. It's strictly a coincidence, Mr. President.
Well, we'll try to give that bill all the consideration it's due. And Representative Allen, Jimmer, thank you for bringing your daughter. We see a lot of pride, and we share that pride. She's obviously done fantastic, notwithstanding your influence. But we thank you, and we hope for the best in her career. Senator Johnson.
May I have privilege of the floor, Mr. President?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Up in the West Gallery, and I'll ask them to stand up as usual. We have members of what I all refer to as the finest youth organization in the United States. They represent the Burns High School. And they're the FFA chapter with their leader, Craig Spatz. Will you please welcome them to the Senate?
Senator Estabell.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow colleagues, it's that time of year again, and you've all received an entry form for the Race for the Cure, which will take place Saturday, August the 8th. And some way or another, I was designated the person to collect these applications and the money there, too, so just like you to look for this in your pile, the entry form for the Race for the Cure, and just fill it out and put it over here at my desk, and I'll make sure it gets to the proper authorities. Thank you, Mr. President.
Tony Floor Leader Bebop. Let's try that again. Majority Floor Leader Bebout.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
President, quick announcement on the printed digest. You all should have a sheet out. Just be sure and pay attention to it, if you would, please, Senators, whether or not you want a printed copy of the digest. That's what about. Otherwise, you'll get it online. Thank you.
All right, we have reports from standing committee meetings.
February 24, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 152 engrossed, Industrial Siding Impact Payments, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, Wassenberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 24th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 144 engrossed, Education, School Safety and Security, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Ross, and Wassenberger. No, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross, Chairman. February 24th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number seven, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 93 engrossed, Public Service Commission Authority, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Meyer, Pappas, Scott, excuse, Senator Hicks, Senator Case, Chairman. February 24th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number seven, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 64, UCC Title I and 7 revisions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 23rd, Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 1 engrossed, Regulation Freedom, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Nicholas, and Perkins. No, Senators Kraft and Rothfuss, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation Highway Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 193 engrossed, Veteran Burial Teams, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Escobill, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation Highway Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 85 engrossed, Motor Vehicle Passing Bicycles, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Escobill, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. February the 24th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 31 engrossed, Exemption Water Utilities, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, and Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Are we ready for bills on second reading?
We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading.
Thank you.
House Bill 11, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 11, Distance Education Task Force.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 25, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset.
We have an amendment. Discussion. Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, before I move, I would ask that second reading amendment number 1 be read in.
House Bill 25, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 8 and 9.
Just give me a moment till I get it. Thank you, Senator Bebout. Oh, excuse me. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25. Members of the Senate, we had some great discussion yesterday about this bill and what it deals with and the specifics of it. There was a standing committee amendment that did a couple of things, and what this does is speak to that standing committee amendment, Mr. President. The standing committee amendment, as much as I like the bucking horse, it would be put on the railroad cars that would be involved in this particular business. I just don't think it's position of the Senate to tell private industry what to put on their cars, so I removed that, and then the sunset was through 2025, and I dropped that back to 2021, which is a six-year sunset. That makes good sense, Mr. President. We ought to come back and look at this in 6 years. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. The question is on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, I put on your desk some information that the American Association of American Railroads put out about those tanker cars that our industry can rebuild without competition, and so they would not need this $1 million tax exemption. For that, I would recommend you vote against this $1 million tax exemption and let them go ahead and rebuild all the cars they can in Wyoming.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, I'd just like to point out to the body that, you know, you can build all of the cars that you want as far as the rail cars are concerned, and if there's not the capacity out there for the use of those cars are not going to be repaired. They're just going to be simply put on a siding someplace and not even be used, and that even makes this business even more competitive because of the nature of the business and the use of those cars, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, so I'd still ask you to vote in favor of this bill.
Further discussion. House Bill 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 56, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act.
We have amendments.
Yes, we do.
Would the reading clerk please read in the First Amendment?
House Bill number 56, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 6, line 3.
Senator Von Flatern.
Sorry, Mr. President. I was trying to dig that amendment up. It was handed out earlier. Yeah, do you have it, Richard? Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 56. And what this does is goes into that section on the hazardous food. And sorry, Mr. President, I wasn't quite prepared for this. It goes on to page 6, line 2, because the original language said not potentially hazardous food as defined by the statute shall not be labeled. And then the amendment said is required to be labeled. And that's not, they confuse not potentially hazardous with hazardous. So all this does is go back in there and delete the original amendment to this line and further amend as follows. After B, insert required to be, and then semicolon, after regulated, delete the comma, put a period. And we also didn't want people that actually labeled their food and licensed and packaged it. We didn't want them being arrested because it was non-hazardous food, but they did label it and package it just because that's what they normally did. So what this did was clean up the original amendment and put that they didn't have to, it's not required to license and regulate and package, and then put a period in it. And sorry for the confusion, Mr. President. Ask for your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 56, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. That amendment has been adopted. The next item is the amendment number 2. If the reading clerk would please read it in.
House Bill number 56, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy, page 5, line 11.
Senator Bebout. All right. Senator Scott. I got you. I apologize. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, amendment does a couple of things. First, it goes in on page 5, and these are the things that is an except in there. And then we list three things. First, that aren't going to be subject. First is the sale of poultry products consistent with this article. That's existing in the bill. We're just reorganizing that, and there's a mild illiteracy there we're correcting. Second, the sale of live animals intended for slaughter. The bill doesn't intend to, they aren't regulated now. They're not intended to be regulated. And C, there's a current practice where you can sell a quarter or a half of beef to, and you often sell them through one of these farmers' markets, and it's for future delivery, and either the individual you're selling it to is responsible for the processing, or more likely you get it done by a Wyoming-licensed processing plant, same people that process wild game usually. So what that first part of the amendment is just doing is clarifying that those practices can continue, prevents this bill from being misread. The second item, and it is divisible, Mr. President, if anybody wants to, is there was confusion on committee the whole on what the effect of this bill was on the sale of unpasteurized milk. And there was some discussion that was elsewhere regulated, and it turns out it is, but not in statute. There's a regulation that's based on federal law that this bill may or may not supersede. So what this amendment does is say, and it starts on line 14 of the amendment, that unpasteurized milk shall not be sold, delivered, or served, provided for human consumption, except prohibition shall not apply to individuals who obtain milk from animals they own, or own in whole or in part. There is a practice of neighbors sharing a cow that is developed, and you can only serve it to members of their own family, or non-paying guests. And you can see that in there. So this would limit the sale of unpasteurized milk and is consistent with the current practice that's going on and doesn't seem to be causing any problems. And, Mr. President, I don't think I have any conflict of interest, but I will say to the Senate that, yes, our family corporation has a milk cow. and at least one of the families there milks it and drinks the milk. I don't think that gives me a conflict. And we do occasionally sell grass-fed 2-year-old steers as a sideline. Again, it's not a big deal for us, and I don't think I have a conflict because this just clarifies the law, but we are in that business to a minor extent, and so I am affected. Mr. President, that's the amendment, and I think it improves the bill, and I would urge its adoption.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Driscoll.
President, thank you. I would like to move to divide the amendment. Division 1 would be lines 1 through 12. Division 2 would be lines 14 through 44.
Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, lines 1 through 13, yes, it is clearly divisible that way.
And so the only difference, Senator Scott, being that instead of leaving that hanging line out, it's just lines 1 through 13 and then 14 through the end. Division number 1 being the first lines 1 through 13, 14 through 44 being Division 2. Discussion on Division number 1. Senator Driscoll.
We're totally in favor of this. Cleans the bill up, makes it much better than it was as written. I encourage you to vote yes.
Further discussion on Division number 1 to the second reading number 2. There being none, the question having called for, all those in favor of Division number 1 to second reading number 2, say aye. Opposed, no. Division number 1 to second reading number 2, which is lines 1 through 13, has been adopted. We're now on division number 2, which is lines 14 through 44. Senator Driscoll.
President, please remember how you voted on division 1. I did a handout to everybody. It's got the states on it. We're going to talk about a little bit about raw milk. We went through this a lot yesterday. I'm not going to go real in depth. But I will tell you this, over 50% of the United States right now has the ability to buy raw milk, over 50%. States like, nanny states like California, Washington, Idaho, Arizona, New Mexico, Maine, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, all of these states allow unpasteurized milk to be sold on store shelves, not just out in the country. They allow them to be labeled and sold on store shelves. They have not had problems with this. This has gone on for quite a while. Then you go through the next layer of them. There's another layer that we're in with cow shares. And basically what it amounts to is almost everybody has the access to raw milk. What you've done is if you don't pass this, you're moving ourselves into a black market. It's exactly what other people have talked about. And at some point, the Department of Health comes and visits you on your ranch and threatens to shut you down or do something. And it's probably, like the good senator from Natrona County said, a little side bit of your business, and it's a huge wreck for you. One last little statistic that's really interesting. You have a 1 in 6 million chance becoming ill, not dying, becoming ill, 1 in 6 million from milk. You have a 1 in 8,000 chance of being killed in a car wreck. Think about those statistics. Maybe we ought to move the speed limits down to 15 because it'd save a lot more lives. I encourage you to vote for it. Oh, vote against, please. On and against, thank you for the help.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, you got it right the first time. Mr. President, seriously, raw milk is where the real risk is in these things. Milk is an ideal medium for the growth of bacteria. It's an ideal medium to transmit all kinds of things, including tuberculosis. We went, the society the world over, went to pasteurization for good reason. There were lots of diseases that were transmitted as if the practice of selling raw milk becomes widespread, we're going to see those kind of problems again. And I think that we ought to regulate it so that the current practices can continue. They're small enough scale, they aren't going to cause any trouble. But you get selling wide-scale raw milk, you are going to have trouble. This is one place where we need to pay attention to the public health people. And, Mr. President, if California's doing that, that's good reason to do something else.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I submit to you, we probably started the whole pasteurization process back when people weren't so much aware of the cleanliness issue. Well, I tell you that they probably are now. Conditions have changed. People are out there asking for this product. Let them decide. We don't need to govern them in this. Let them decide if they want to purchase raw milk or not. A lot of families are turning to that. They'd like that opportunity. Let's get out of their lives and vote no on this one.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree with my colleague over there that this is people should be able to decide, make this decision. I've had this bill up myself in the past, and I have constituents in my district that have asked for this. They talk about their cow shares and the ability to get it and go into other states, and you can buy it off the stand in other states. And I agree with them that if they want to have the ability to get it, understand the risks that they're taking on their own, they should be able to do that. And I wholeheartedly agree, you know, on the raw milk issue.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the cow share topic, we recognize that is just a get around. But one of the things that happens when you start promoting or allowing get arounds is then people tend to stretch it beyond that. And so we have a way to do it. Everybody recognizes what it is. And as a result, you end up with good people feeling pretty uncomfortable about their actions, but they're still trying to feed their family or make a livelihood. And let's go ahead and defeat this division.
Further discussion on division number two. Question having been called, there's no further discussion. The question is, shall the Senate adopt division number two to second reading number two, which constitutes lines 14 through 44. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair was in doubt anyway, so all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Seventeen, no, 12, yes. Division number two has failed. We're at the third amendment to second reading. If the reading clerk would please read it in.
House Bill 56, second reading amendment number 3 to engross copy, page 6, lines 15 through 23.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 56. Members of the Senate, if you'll look at this amendment and go into your bill, it's on the bottom of page 6, lines 15 through the end, and on page 7, lines 2 through 18. Mr. President, what this does is it removes the inherent risk of those that are purchasing these different items at a farmer's market. And if we're going to have a bill like this, they ought to be treated just like everybody else without this kind of protection. I would ask that you support the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Driscoll. I didn't catch you on the mic. I don't think anybody heard you.
Mr. President, yes, bill sponsors are in favor of this amendment.
Thank you. All those in favor of third or second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 56, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. We're at amendment number 4. If the reading clerk will please read it in.
House Bill number 56, second reading, amendment number 4 to engross copy. Page 3, line 2.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move for House Bill 56, amendment number 4, for its adoption. This is just cleanup language that came out of the good department that enforces these regulations and cleans it up. If you read through it, just tracks back into that, and it makes it read cleaner and makes it where it's more descriptive for them. I'd encourage you to vote yes.
Discussion on the amendment? There's none. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 4, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're on the Fifth Amendment. If the reading clerk would please read it in.
House Bill 56, second reading, amendment number 5, to engross copy, page 1, line 3.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 56 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this really gets down to the end user informed consent concept, where we're adding on page 5, line 19, in the E paragraph, the producer shall provide notice to the end consumer that any food product or food sold at a farmer's market or through the ranch, etc., pursuant to this section, is not certified, labeled, licensed, packaged, regulated, or inspected. And then it goes on to add, you can see in lines 6 through 10 of the amendment, the end consumer shall sign and date the form prior to any sale or transaction. The notice under this subsection shall be in a form required by rule of the Department of Agriculture. Mr. President, this gets to the point where you are acknowledging and understanding. You are, at this point, an informed consumer because you're signing something that says that you understand the potential risks through the Department of Agriculture's rule and regulation. They'll prepare what that form would look like. At this point in time, Mr. President, I would become comfortable with this legislation, but this is the standard that I put in place in my own mind. If we want people to acknowledge that they understand the risk, this is the way to have them acknowledge that they understand the risk. It would be a very simple, quick form that indicates that you have somebody who's capable of understanding, they acknowledge it, and that threshold provides sufficient comfort, at least to me, to be selling raw milk and some of these other products in the market, where short of that, I am concerned, Mr. President, that there would be a continuation of having kids buying it or other people who really don't understand the risk and improper conversations and proper communication about the potential for that risk. So this provides a clear path, an easy acknowledgement, and an understanding that, yes, there is risk. I acknowledge that risk. Mr. President, on for the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just clarification. So if I go to under this amendment, if I go to a farmer's market and I go over and buy a cucumber from this vendor, I've got to sign a form. And then if I go over here and buy a tomato, I've got to sign another form. And if I go over here and get some corn, I got to sign another form. So for me to go do my vegetable shopping from multiple vendors, would I have to get a form signed by each individual vendor under this amendment? Just for clarification purposes.
Practice makes perfect. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate what's trying to be done here, but members of the Senate, we're talking signing and dating. We're going to be doing this in triplicate form soon. More rules, more regulations. The theme here is food freedom. Step back away from this. Vote no on this.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his second time. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think the simple answer to my good friend from Carbon County would probably be yes. I think that's probably how it would have to go, unless there was something where you signed a consent as you're going into the market to acknowledge it or going into a store. There'd certainly be ways to work through that. To my good friend, this is a policy decision, a vote it up or vote it down. This is what gets me comfortable with it, and I certainly don't have to be comfortable with it. I've opposed it in the past, and I'm perfectly comfortable voting no. But in terms of what I consider to be informed consent, this is it. Anything less than this isn't informed consent, and I guess I'll just say, Mr. President, vote it up or vote it down.
maybe you could issue an armband. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 5, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That's been defeated. That's all the amendments. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 56, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 61, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 61, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 107, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact.
Are there any amendments? There be no amendments. Senator Landon.
President, thank you. Just to follow up on the conversation that we had yesterday, the good senator from Goshen asked some questions with regard to the compact and how the license fees would work and whether or not it could be self-sustaining. And I just wanted to pass along the answers to a couple of those questions. It has always been the goal of that compact to be self-sustaining. The physicians using the compact to get licenses in participating states would pay the license to the state. They would also pay a processing fee to the compact commission. In the event that special expenses arose and the compact decided, along with our two representatives from our state, if that compact decided that we needed to come back to the states for any sort of special appropriation, that, of course, would have to come through us. It would have to be signed by the governor and proceed thusly. As for the startup funds, the compact, there are already several options being looked at, including the opportunity for some federal grants from the Department of Health and Human Services and the advancement of telehealth. That's involved, and there is hope there. Also, a lot of private grants being looked at in this area, fellow senators. So that's the information regarding how we're going to fund the compact. Thank you, Mr. President.
House Bill 107, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 126, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 126, candidate filing requirements.
Any amendments or discussion? Being none. House Bill 126, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 138, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 138, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers.
No discussions or amendments. House Bill 138, having been...
There are amendments.
Oh.
Pardon?
Oh. The clerk had thought it was going to be laid back. All right. House Bill 138, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers. There is an amendment. The first one is the Scott Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in? Actually, you're okay, Charlie. Did you want this bill laid back?
Yes.
Okay. Without objection, House Bill 138 is being laid back for second reading tomorrow. Sorry to make you run. House Bill 139, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 139, Unemployment Compensation Protest Time Limit.
Any amendments or discussion? There being none. House Bill 139, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 146, second reading bill.
House Bill number 146, Uniform Trust Code.
No discussions or amendments. House Bill 146, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 149, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw.
House Bill 149, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 150, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 150, arrest for violation of probation.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 150, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 180, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 180, child interviews, neglect, and abuse cases.
We have amendments. If the reading clerk would please read in the first amendment.
House Bill number 180, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 16.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 180. Folks, this goes in on page 2 of the bill and changes the language on lines 16 and 17 so that it'll now say, except upon order of the court, which shall determine if good cause exists to disclose the information. And then, of course, we delete the balance of the line on 16 and 17 through the period. Urge your favorable consideration.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the sponsor of the amendment coming to me with this. After I was caught up to speed with how the legislation arrived at this point, I wasn't surprised that we'd have a little conversation about it. This does, in my opinion, and I'm no legal expert, but I do think it lowers the bar a little bit. But as we've say in the business, vote it up or vote it down, and we'll move on to the next one. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. If the reading clerk would please read in amendment number 2.
House Bill number 180, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy. Delete the Ross second reading amendment.
Senator Perkins, buddies.
The feuding senators here. Anyway, Mr. President, I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 18 and ask the body to vote aye. What we're doing here is just a continuation of that discussion. In the last one, we did good cause, and which may not be a bad compromise. What this does, instead of good cause, it inserts as you examine when or not this would be released, is that no interview would be released or other information in a civil action. You go through that, and then it says that the requirements are put out there that it would be under this article unless its probative value to a party substantially outweighs the prejudice to the child as determined by the court in a protective order. And so what we're doing here is grasping with the language that was problematic in the bill, but was changed by the last one about the essential to justice. Courts and judges deal fairly frequently with this kind of language where you have where the probative value in the of the evidence to the civil proceeding, that it has to substantially outweigh the prejudice to the child or the harm that can be done to the child as determined by the court, and then also would require that it would only be released under a protective order. And then going down, you see that we continue to use the word instead of order, just protective order in this amendment. And then what we're doing at the end is we're simplifying a little bit. We're getting rid of the three conditions on the last page and instead inserting what you see beginning on line 15 of the amendment, which is, or line 16 of the amendment, that we're going to have a recorded interview prior to issuing a protective order may impose such conditions as appropriate under the circumstances of the proceeding to prevent further dissemination of the recorded interview. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, what we're trying to do there is allow the judge to just establish and control the dissemination of that interview. The judges do this, I think, fairly frequently now with gag orders and other things like that, and essentially we're allowing the judge to put gag orders on that. If you look at this, I think sometimes we look at this backwards, Mr. President, with respect to disclosure of these types of interviews. Oftentimes you would find, I don't think it's the accused that's going to provide this interview or to make this interview public, but oftentimes it will be the other parent who was eager for the rest of the world to know what a crumb or what a bad person that other one was. In this case, what we want to do and what that the purpose of this bill is prevent that child from being a pawn in a civil action between parents. And so what we're trying to do here is strike that balance, let the judges do that. The problem that this amendment also seeks to correct is on the last page of the bill, is ultimately taking the attorney out of the middle of this thing where the attorney's acting as a gatekeeper of this evidence. The attorney has a duty to the court with respect to make sure the rules are followed. But at the end of the day, the duty has a specific and statutory duty under our rules, which are the same as law, to zealously represent their client. And so to put the attorney as the gatekeeper of this is just not good for our judicial system. I would ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide the amendment, if I could, lines 1 through 22 being the first division, lines 23 through 25 being the second division.
Divisible. Division number 1 to second reading amendment number 2 is lines 1 through 22.
Mr. President.
Division number 2 is lines 23 through 25. We're on division number 1.
Mr. President, thank you. Speaking on division 1, again, I appreciate the sponsor of the amendment coming to me, and it's not really much of a surprise, Mr. President, that we have members of the legal profession who disagree with one another. I think we might be headed for another 3-2 vote, but in checking with some friends back home who I work with in different circumstances, but who are of the legal profession, they reminded that trial lawyers work under confidentially and protective orders all the time. And so whether or not this language in Division 1 is better language than what we had in before, what it reads now is that no information, including recorded interviews of the child, shall be disclosed to any person in any civil proceeding not related to an abuse or neglect case brought under this article except upon order of the court, which shall determine if disclosure of the information requested is essential to justice. Now, this language comes in, and whether or not it's better, I can't judge that. I have great trust in my friend from Natrona County. I think if it's not completely where we need it to be, we can always come back. But this language on page 2, I think, is workable, and you know, Division 1, I would again say vote it up, vote it down. If you feel like this language is better, we can certainly move it in there. If not, some of us kind of like the bill as it arrives. So thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Ross.
Mr. President, on and for the first division. Folks, I have a case right now that has these circumstances. It happens to be a custody case. What did the court do? It ordered a protective order. That's the way you deal with these things. I think this is a good amendment. Vote it up.
We're on division number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Division number 1 has been adopted. We're on division number 2. Lines 23 through 25, Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. Fellow senators, just to go back to touch on what we're talking about here, yesterday we touched on several reasons why this bill arrived to us. We're talking about the most sensitive, most difficult, heinous situations you can imagine. I mentioned to you that a lot of these a lot of these little ones that are that we bring in for these interviews, the average age is 9 years old. It just seems prudent to me that we do everything we can possibly do and give the judge every tool that he or she needs to make sure that this information doesn't hit the street. Now, I respect where my friend comes from when he says that we don't want the attorneys in the middle of this thing. Well, I would say again, fellow senators, that our attorneys are always in the middle of things, and they are always the custodians of information. There are court orders now in several different kinds of proceedings where the judge indicates to the attorney, you can have this information, but you can't share it with your client. So I actually, I would like to encourage you to leave this language in here. I think it gives more tools to the judge to be able to protect this information. These recordings are not recordings that we want out there. This doesn't prohibit an attorney from sharing this information with his or her client. All it says is we're going to have you sign something or indicate to us that you're not going to make a recording and walk out of here with it. This doesn't do anything to that attorney-client privilege as far as I'm concerned. I say we leave this language in and give the judge all the tools she needs to take care of this information. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm going to pause for just a second. The division number one that we just adopted was lines 1 through 22. The chair ruled that it was divisible. Lines 23 now delete lines 21 through 23, which is a part of the first division. The chair should have required line 23 to be part of division number one. If the movement of the division agrees, what I'd recommend is that we further divide. Lines 23 and 24 will become division number 2. Division number 3 is lines 25. And I think that lines 23 and 24 ought to be adopted as part of division number 1 and then come back and do division number 3, which is line 25. Back to the movement of the division, Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you, and I apologize for not catching that either. I would so move that that division 2 become lines 23 and 24, and I would encourage the body to vote aye on division 2. Okay,
so there's been a further division. Lines 23 and 24 are division number 2. Line 25 is division number 3. We're on division number 2, and you've been recommended that you vote aye. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division number 2 has been adopted. Now we're on division 25, which I think is what the Senator Lander, you were speaking to. But let's go ahead and confirm, if you would, just confirm. I think you've made your point.
Mr. President, I will confirm, although I do recall now why we had to leave that language in, because there is a colon at the end of the page which relates to the subsequent information on page 3. And so we may have to come back in if we need to, but now the language does not work based on what we just passed on divisions 1 and 2. So we can certainly talk about Division 3, but I don't think the bill works, Mr. President.
Okay. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, in that regards, I don't think any of it was divisible the way the language works, because, you know, the tenses are off on page 3 at this point in time, and because, I think we're going to have to backtrack on this. I think you have to leave all of it together and vote it up or vote it down, because I just don't see it being divisible and everything working, just the way the bill's structured.
We're on division number 3. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Division 3, again, when we come, we've already had this discussion, but I just wanted to follow it up with this. But ultimately, when you go through the rules of professional conduct by which lawyers have to do it, and, rules, and lawyers don't follow these rules, they're disbarred or sanctioned or fined or any number of things that happen to lawyers that don't follow this rule. One of those rules requires, Mr. President, a duty of loyalty and confidentiality as well as a zealous representation. There's three different rules that enter into this. And the lawyers are bound to a duty of loyalty to their client. If there are attorneys out there who are telling you that the judge or other parties are disclosing information to them and telling them that they cannot tell their client that, that may be possible, Mr. President, but I would find it highly unlikely because ultimately that is a direct violation of these rules that we provide, that we go by. At the end of the day, there are protective orders that that are fairly common that you prevent further dissemination of an article. You use it. There's protective orders also on various confidential information that may be anything from personally identifiable information to certain health information to financial information, but oftentimes are ordered to be confidential. And so those are marked, and they're used, and you have to be very careful about who gets access to those things. But those are things that are dealt with very, very frequently. And so when you look at the specific language that we have that this amendment seeks to take out, it's requiring counsel certify that no copies of the interview shall be made available to their client if only counsel is allowed to review the interview. I would suggest to you that ultimately that's going to be very, very difficult because now you're sitting there and you're telling the judge that they can order the client not to allow the client to review this interview. Now, you can provide and limit the number of copies that go out and who gets copies, but to interject in this with this language to where the attorney can't share or provide a copy of that to his client who would also be under any gag order or any further dissemination order against that, that just starts to creep into that attorney-client privilege, which we don't do. We wouldn't be telling a priest what to do or what they can share or what they can say to their penitent. We try not to do that with physicians, and so it's not appropriate that we do it in this privileged relationship either. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think, you know, I agree with that to the extent that lines 4 and 5 on page 3 perhaps allows for some conflict between the attorney and the client. However, Mr. President, I think that's, muted to a certain extent on page 3, lines 8 and 9, where it says allowing a recording to be presented to counsel and their client without making a copy available. And this bill really is going into trying to prohibit copies from getting out. All the information that the attorney could share with their client would be in the recording that was presented to the counsel and the client. So all the information that they would need for their defense or anything else is available. They just can't have a copies in their possession, which somehow could be disseminated, which is exactly what happened, and that's exactly why the bill is here.
Yeah. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for this portion of the amendment, folks, I think the language that we just adopted does the very thing that the good senator from Goshen was concerned about. There, the court orders a protective order that prevents dissemination. So we've cured what was the ill. We'll have a statute that directs the courts, and it does it in a fashion that protects not only the victims, but the accused. And it gets rid of this problem that is built in on page 3 with regards to attorneys and their relationships with their client. I have never seen in my 35 years of practice of law a court tell me I can't share something with my client. That is my duty as an attorney to say, look, this is what's out there. How are you going to, you know, you better be thinking about a plea bargain or something here. But reality of it is that that's the relationships that are built into our rules of professional conduct. We ought to allow attorneys to have that. We're still held to a high standard. And what I see out going on with our Supreme Court and our Bar Association, you're seeing it all the time. You see it almost every month, somebody being sanctioned, a lawyer, or being disbarred, public censure, for violation of those rules. I can tell you this, that the Bar Association really does clean its house, contrary to a lot of other professions.
Still on amendment, division number 3, Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I appreciate the conversation. I've learned a lot traveling through this bill. I would just hone in on a couple of things. First off, this is only one of several options that are included but do not limit the judge in terms of what he or she can do with this material, and only one of those is that is if counsel is allowed to review the interview only and not the client. I think that the decision in front of us is whether or not we want the bar to be a little bit higher on information like this, or whether or not we want to rely on an attorney, for example, to make sure that they ask for a protective order. And sometimes attorneys might not do that. And then it puts these children's advocacy folks in a pretty difficult position. They've got to go hire attorneys and fight it on the other side. And sometimes they lose and they watch this information go to people they know that it shouldn't go to. And that's why the bill exists. It's expensive, it's difficult, and sometimes this information is released. I think we're closer, and I appreciate my good friend from Natrona County crafting some language that maybe works for all of us. And maybe given the fact that that the language does not work, I would encourage you to vote this language up, Mr. President, not down, because that's the way the bill has to work now. And maybe we can continue the conversation on into third reading. But thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate it.
We're on division number 3, which is line 25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. But that division adopted, that effectively adopts the entire second reading amendment number 2. We're back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. House Bill 180, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 197, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 197, emergency vehicle tow trucks and wreckers.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 197, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 214.
House Bill number 214, practice of law amendments.
You have an amendment? If the reading clerk would please read it in.
House Bill number 214, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy. Page 6, line 5.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move amendment number 1 to House Bill 214. Ask the body to vote aye. What we're doing in this was an error caught by our friends over at the court as they were watching this through. When you have that, when you read that about who's going to administer the oath may be administered by the clerk, or one of the justices of the Supreme Court. That clerk is specifically the justice of the clerk of the Supreme Court and not just any old clerk. And so by the belief is that by removing that removing that comma and reinserting the or, that it'll clarify that that's the clerk of the Supreme Court or a justice of the Supreme Court, and then also they may be also sworn in by district judges in their districts or clerk of, or the clerk of the county in her, in his county. So not all clerks can, only certain clerks, one of which is the Supreme Court clerk. So I'd ask you to vote aye. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any discussion on the bill? House Bill 214, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Joint Resolution number six, second reading.
House Joint Resolution number six, Wyoming Local Food Production.
No amendments or discussion. House Joint Resolution number six, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. That brings us to the next item of business, which is bills on third reading and final passage.
Mr. President.
Senator Dockstader.
Mr. President, if I could, for just a moment while we make this transition from seconds to thirds, could I take a moment for an introduction?
You have the privilege of the floor.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I'd like you to meet a group of students from a valley-wide community out in the far west. They come from a school system that has a blue ribbon school, a number one ranking in reading, and consistently for the last 2 years, they've ranked in the top five in statewide assessments at all grade levels. Would you please welcome this great-looking, finely dressed, above-average group of students from Star Valley up in the gallery. Thank you. Please.
Hey.
That is a long way. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Go ahead. Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and I move the third reading consent list as follows. House Bill 32, Hemp Extract Regulation. House Bill 38, PAC, Campaign Limits and Funding. House Bill 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits Repeal. House Bill 44, Emergency 9/11 Fees Prepaid Wireless. House Bill 77, Wyoming Retirement System Veterans Service Credit. House Bill 88, Health Provider Recruiting Programs. House Bill 96, Catering Permit Limitation. House Bill 128, Notice Requirement Special District Elections. House Bill 145, Principal and Income Act Amendments. House Bill 159, Educating Writing Assessment. House Bill 172, Disability Placard Designation. House Bill 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties. House Bill 231, Hathaway Scholarships, Exemptions from Requirements. House Bill 233, Branch Bank License Expiration. House Bill 237, Water and Sewer District Contracts. House Joint Resolution 7, Bear Lodge Project. And House Joint Resolution 8, Large Combination Vehicles Compact Agreement.
Would any of the members like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 32, Hemp Extract Regulation. House Bill 38, PAC, Campaign Limits and Funding. House Bill 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits, Repeal. House Bill 44, Emergency 9/11 Fees, Prepaid Wireless. House Bill 77, Wyoming Retirement System Veterans Service Credit. House Bill 88, Health Provider Recruiting Programs. House Bill 96, Catering Permit Limitation. House Bill 128, Notice Requirements Special District Elections. House Bill 145, Principal and Income Act Amendments. House Bill 159, Education Writing Assessments. House Bill 172, Disability Placard Designation. House Bill 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties. House Bill 231, Hathaway Scholarships Exceptions from Requirements. House Bill 233, Branch Bank License Expiration. House Bill 237, Water and Sewer District Contracts. House Bill 7, Bear Lodge Project. And House Joint Resolution 8, Longer Combination Vehicles Compact Agreement.
Mr. President.
Senator Bebout.
And Mr. President, that's a House Joint Resolution 7, not House Bill.
Thank you. Going back to the bottom of two, House Joint Resolution 7, Bear Lodge Project, as well as House Joint Resolution 8, Longer Combination Vehicles Compact Agreement. Will the reading clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
And Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon. Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 32, are there any changes? Wasserberger, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 32, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 38, are there any changes? Johnson, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Anderson, O2, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Escobel, I'm sorry, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 38, 16 aye, 14 no. House Bill 39, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Anderson, O2, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Escobel, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 39, 16 aye, 14 no. House Bill 44, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Wasserberger, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 44, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 77, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 77, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 88, are there any changes? Wasserberger, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 88, 24 aye, 6 no. House Bill 96, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 96, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 128, are there any changes? Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 128, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 145, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 145, 30 aye. House Bill 159, are there any changes? Wasserberger, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Anderson, Dockstetter, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Case, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Von Platern, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 159, 16 aye, 14 no. House Bill 172, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 172, 30 aye. House Bill 225, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 225, 30 aye. House Bill 231, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 231, 30 aye. House Bill 233, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 233, 30 aye. House Bill 237, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 237, 26 aye, 4 no. House Joint Resolution 7, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 7, 30 aye. House Joint Resolution 8, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 8, 28 aye, 2 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elect to the Senate, House Bill 32, 38, 39, 44, 77, 88, 96, 128, 145, 159, 172, 225, 231, 233, and 237, along with House Joint Resolution 7 and 8, have passed the Senate. Any further business? We do have some standing committee reports to be read in.
February the 24th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Critical Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 127, Termination of Employment Wages, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 24th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill Number 45, Health Care Sharing Ministry, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. No, Senator Case. Excuse, Senator Hicks. Senator Case, Chairman.
Is that it? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that we stand recessed until 2 p.m.
My, how time flies. You guys. Okay, if you don't want to work anymore. Announcements.
Mr. President, you have to call for the vote.
Oh, all those?
No, you don't.
I don't think we've anything to move out of. You haven't started to work yet. Senator Ross.
Mr. President, your joint conference committee on the budget will meet at 12:30 in room 204 to begin our deliberations on the budget bill.
Be strong. Senator Meyer.
Committee number 8, Transportation, will meet upon adjournment in S-14 to discuss interim topics, and that's open to public comment. And the conference committee on message 244 will meet in about 10 minutes.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet 30 minutes after noon recess here. 30 minutes up in room S-16 to discuss House Bill 81, Wyoming Lottery Distributions, and House Bill 62, Engrossed Property.
The mic died.
Hey, he wasn't talking fast enough.
You cut me off. You cut me off. We will discuss House Bill 81, Wyoming Lottery Distributions, and House Bill 62, Engrossed Property Tax Exemption for Religious Education Camps.
Senator Von Flater, and I apologize for that.
Not a problem, Mr. President. Could I have the privilege of the floor for a second? May I?
Yes.
Friends of Cole are having a luncheon over in Hirschler Building, if anybody wants to walk over for a free lunch. And then I do have an announcement, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, 20 minutes after noon recess, in room S-18 to continue on House Bill 212 and Gross Workers' Compensation Claim Apportion.
Senator Christensen.
About it later. Thank you, Mr. President.
Never mind.
Friday, too.
Majority Floor Leader Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know where Senator Wasserberger is, but I'll make the announcement. Your conference, joint conference committee on Senate file or Senate file 70, House Bill 73 will meet in S13 in about 20 minutes. And, Mr. President, your Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 23 will meet upon adjournment in S11.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You know, doing the Journal Committee takes a lot of work. You've heard the motion. All those in favor? Oh, wait, Senator Cooper.
Sorry, Mr. President, but just want to announce that the Conference Committee on Senate File 5, which is the Quebec one, you know, we'll meet it later on, in just shortly afternoon or break here up in S14 as soon as we have some lunch.
All right. Any further announcements? There being none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.